If you lived in the world of Dune, what would your most valuable resource be? Hello and welcome to Tech First. My name is John Gutsier. I'm currently reading Earth by David Brin. He's an award-winning science fiction author and NASA consultant who happened to edit my own science fiction novel, No Other Gods. It's widely regarded as one of the most predictive sci-fi novels of all time. One of the things he foreshadows would be very common is conflict over water. Does that need to be the case? Today, we're chatting with someone whose inventions could solve that. They're called atmospheric water generators. They pull anywhere from 24 to 2,600 gallons of clean water from the atmosphere in a single day. He's the co-founder and CEO of Aquaria. His name is Brian Cheng. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, John. Really excited to be here.
I was thinking as I was doing that intro, have you seen Dune? Or have you seen the wind traps there? Is that like ring a little bell for you?
I was going to say, you know, I haven't seen Dune yet. It's definitely on my radar. My co-founder, Eric, has already seen and raved about it. Lots of sci-fi movie references and also Star Wars. So that's on my list. Haven't gotten it yet, though.
Do not wait too long. It is amazing. You will love it. Start with the first one, of course, but you absolutely love it. But let's talk about water. How many people struggle to get clean water today?
Yeah. So I think everyone knows that we have a global challenge with water. Actually, I'm here in I'm usually based in California, and just in California alone, we have actually 1 million people that don't have access to clean water. And in the United States, up to 40 million people actually have disruptions to clean water. And clean water, I mean, as defined by the EPA. So this is a big problem, even in the United States.
Well, and it's not just California, but that's shocking, of course, because the U.S., one of the richest nations in the world, California, one of the richer states in the United States. You also have Flint, Michigan, where they still have trouble getting clean water to people that doesn't have contaminants like lead and other things in it. I think I saw something that a global figure was somewhere on the order of 2 billion people globally do not have safe, constant access to clean water.
Yep, 2 billion people. A lot of it focused and concentrated on the global south and in developing nations. It's a huge problem. It's actually getting worse.
Talk about that getting worse. Why is it getting worse? I mean, we have situations like in the American West and Midwest where we've been tapping the water table for decades for farming, for irrigation. That started sinking down, and there's all kinds of issues with that. Not the least of which is the lack of water, but also land subsidence as the water table goes down. But you also have obviously places in countries in the global south, as you're talking about, where drought comes and you may not have a ready source of water. What's driving all this?
Yeah, I think when we think about our water crisis happening and what I mean by worsening, I think there are three main categories. And it's reflected, actually, if you look at the WHO or UN, you know, global perennial challenges. Water is always a top three problem. And so if you look at some of the reasons, well, number one is, and this is not in, I guess, any order of priority, but number one, a lot of people take water for granted. It's not something that they think about as a resource that is deplenishing right in front of our eyes. This is especially the case in the United States, where we think water is a free public good to a certain extent that the government provides. And so water is extremely undervalued. Number two, we have climate change happening. Climate change, we talk a lot about EVs and decarbonization, but actually one of the main effects and one of the main ways we suffer from climate change is just depleting water, right? Like ocean water rising, what does that do? Comes inland and creates disruptions to our clean water. When we have droughts and more natural disasters, same thing, our clean water gets depleted. And then number three is also it just takes a lot of time and capital for us to build new water solutions. We have to build infrastructure, we have to build pipes, we have to approve large budgets. And so all of this is happening in ever higher frequency and severity. And so this is how I think about, you know, our global water challenge.
And not only is it expensive and hard to build those massive projects to distribute water everywhere, they're super inefficient. I mean, especially old systems, New York, other eastern United States cities, they estimate they lose 15% to 30% of their water through leaks. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. Okay, let's talk about your atmospheric water generators. What is it? How does it work?
Sure. So I wonder, John, you know, do you know how much water is in the air around us?
I don't know. I obviously it has something to do with humidity, and 100% humidity, I don't know how much water that would be per, let's say, cubic meter. I assume it's a lot, but you'll have to share it with me. I don't know.
Yeah. So I think we can think back to high school or middle school earth science. The humidity in the air is part of the Earth's natural hydrologic cycle. And so we have roughly 37.8 million billion gallons of water in the air at any given time. Or for our global audience, it's about 13,000 cubic kilometers.
13,000 cubic kilometers of water suspended in our atmosphere at any given time. Wow.
Correct. And that gets replenished roughly every week or so, completely recycled just through the hydrologic cycle. So that's an incredibly large amount of water, fresh water that we can use that's sustainable, renewable. It's about 200 times more than what human consumption actually consists of per year. And so what our atmospheric water generators do is we've created a way that can capture this water in the air and turn it into water that we can consume in a large scale and energy efficient way.
How does it do that?
How we do that, technically speaking, is from heat exchange. So I think an easy way to describe it is, you know, on a hot summer day, we take out a can of cold drink from the refrigerator. When a cold surface touch a hot parcel of air, the water drips right onto the side of the can. So that's actually heat exchange as condensation. And so what our technology does is we've created special materials as well as heat exchange systems where we can capture a large amount of air and then squeeze out the water in the air by efficiently dissipating heat and then capturing and purifying that for consumption.
Super interesting. I guess the principle there is that cold air can't hold as much moisture as hot air.
Yeah, exactly. So for every parcel of air with its temperature and humidity content, there's going to be a colder temperature where the dew point is the water becomes liquid water from atmospheric humidity. So we've created a system where inside the system, then we can actually efficiently cool the parcel of air through our heat exchange systems. And then when that parcel of air cools to the dew point, then the water drips down into our collection and then we're able to purify that. So that's exactly right.
Super cool. How much power does this take?
Yeah. So I guess it depends on how much water you need and the size of the actual product itself. But roughly speaking, right now we're creating water somewhere in between 5 to 15 cents per gallon.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty good. That's not bad at all. Now, of course, that depends on how expensive your power is or anything like that. But at that price point in, let's say, the North American grid, you could easily run that off grid on solar power, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually, I think, one of our main customer categories is a lot of people are looking at securing their property, securing their ranch, their home, making sure that they have a water supply that no matter what happens to their groundwater grid, they have another air water grid now. And so these customers typically also have solar and batteries. And that's a great, you know, addition for us because then we are essentially getting energy from the sun and then water from the air.
Yes, free water. Talk about the scope here, because I saw on your website that you've got atmospheric water generators that can pull 24 gallons of clean water a day, and you've got ones that can pull 2,600. That's a significant difference, obviously, but it kind of sounds like you've got some things that are happening on an industrial scale, not just a personal or home scale. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. For Aquaria, we're a technology company, and our mission is to safeguard clean water access harvesting air. So we're imagining that in the future, as we continue to improve our technology and as more people adopt our technology, that we can actually create water for entire cities and countries all from the air. So from the beginning, we've designed our product to be linkable. So that's why, you know, that's why there's such a large range from, you know, something as small as 24 gallons, which is pretty great for the home or your school, all the way up to multi-thousand gallons, because all we have to do is link the technology together. And so whether, you know, John, maybe you're telling me you want a bigger one for your ranch. Okay, we can do that. Or we have a bigger project. Like, for example, right now, Mexico City is having a huge water crisis. Well, we can also do larger projects as well.
Interesting. Yeah, Mexico City, I believe, is also subsiding, right? It's essentially falling very, very slowly as they deplete their water table, and the whole city is sinking some centimeters or inches per year, which we're also seeing in the American Midwest and West. Okay, how much is this? Is it super expensive?
So our smallest unit, the 24 gallons one that I mentioned, starts at $3,000. So you can start supplying that starting from there.
Gotcha.
What do you think? Is that expensive? What do you think?
As everything, it's kind of relative. If you're in Africa in some dry, dusty interior nation, you don't have access to water, and maybe your income is, you know, some $1,000 US equivalent a year, it's probably pretty expensive. But in the West, maybe not so much.
Yeah, right now we're mostly shipping within North America, but John, I absolutely agree with you. My goal is that in the next 5 years, I can sell the hydro, you know, our smallest product and take it down at least 2x, so down to $1,500, and I hope to one day sell it at over under $1,000. Right now, we're just getting started, but as we continue to build the company, as we continue to manufacture more of these products, then we're definitely going to offer this for more affordable pricing.
It is interesting because if I think about, let's say, an off-grid home or a ranch or just somewhere that's quite distant, $3,000, assuming the technology is reliable and lasts a long time, is actually not that much, because what's the cost of laying all that pipe that you need to get something in? What's the cost of otherwise having some sort of treatment facility for groundwater or digging a well or other things like that? Those things can be quite expensive. Super interesting. How does this fit into kind of the global scale of problems? I just saw, like, 5 days ago, Financial Times had a story on desalination and how when it's powered by solar, that's getting actually really efficient, really cheap. I mentioned to you off the top or before we started recording the Hassian project in Dubai. They're thinking they'll provide desalinated water at 37 cents per cubic meter, whereas drinking water in London is a pound. Which is, I guess, about $1.50, $1.25 per cubic meter. How's that fit in? I guess that's really kind of massive city scale, but you're kind of hoping to get to that level as well, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm a big fan of desalination. We have a global scale water problem. And as I actually brought up a great point, solar power desalination and also advancements like even concentrated solar power desalination and advanced membranes. We're bringing more supply online, especially in many regions that have entire countrywide scale water problems, like in the Middle East, right? We're not talking about city scale or state level. It's like entire countries have problems with this. So the way I think about it is that, you know, at a global scale, we need different options. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. Mm-hmm. When we think about energy, we have all kinds of energy options depending on what your particular geography holds for you. Maybe you're closer to the coast and you can have wind. Maybe you're on an island with great sunlight, you have solar. Maybe you have geothermal or any number of options to make sure that you have an efficient source of energy and good and well-priced. But that's the problem with water, is that we don't have those options. We really have relatively limited options, and desalination over the past 30 years have finally gotten to a point where it is now at the pricing and the technological scale that, you know, John, you just talked about. And so Aquaria is aiming to get there as well. Right now, we're definitely more expensive than desalination from a liter or gallon to gallon level, but we're able to provide an option that is way more affordable from a total project size. And then also we can provide that water immediately. So I see us right now complementing desalination. We can put our machines, and actually our customers do so, alongside other desalination projects.
It's super interesting that you mentioned different energy sources, because I think I saw it just the other day. Scotland is about 97% powered by renewable energy sources. They have a lot of wind, apparently. Really, really interesting. Costa Rica, same. You look at, you use what you have, right? You look at Iceland, so much geothermal there, right? It's always been kind of sad for me when I've gone to places like Bermuda or Bahamas or something like that to see how little solar they're using when that's such a rich resource there. But hopefully over time that'll come as well. It makes sense in the water area to have that also, right? Like you say, spin it up, scale it for one house, a few houses, a ranch, a property, that sort of thing, instantly. I almost wonder if you're not more cost effective than desalination, because of course you have the $3,000 cost, but if that machine lasts for 10 years or something like that, you said, you know, 15 cents a liter or something like that, that's getting close, isn't it?
I think it is the most affordable for people, for communities, for people like us and developers of communities. We are the better option. As a non-country, non-utility, organization, the cost of you can't really build desalination unless you have a large
capital. No.
Imagine, John, you said, you know, you have a place. Let me go build a desalination plant. How much does it cost me to build a pipes for that, right?
Who do I have to talk to enable that? What?
So I think that's what, you know, we're able to bring about, is that we are the fastest and most affordable option where you can build your own water security and supply yourself. And the scope and size of what we can provide is within the amount of water necessary for the size of the needs of communities.
It's actually interesting to me to kind of remember that even in areas that have a lot of water, it's not necessarily the right kind of water. So for instance, I live in British Columbia, Canada. Mm-hmm. And it's about 3 years ago that we had one of those atmospheric rivers that I think San Diego had last year. And it just rained incessantly and hard for 3 to 5 days, something like that. We had tons of flooding, water coming over the border from the States as well, from Sumas, Washington State, and everything like that. The reality was we had insane amounts of water. But because of the amount, and it got into the farms and manure and other industrial places, it was not clean water. It was not potable water. In fact, there were concerns that it was going to render some of the farmland damaged because of what it might have picked up in various areas, right? So even if you have lots of water, it may not be the water that you can drink, or easily drink at least.
Absolutely. John, did you see the recent atmospheric water in Dubai? It drowned the whole city.
I saw that on Reddit. I'm in a natural disasters subreddit or something like that. And it was the weirdest thing. In fact, not just Dubai, several places around the Middle East, you saw these, you know, just all of a sudden flash floods and huge amounts of water flowing over the desert and into the cities. It's crazy.
Clean drinking water, I think, is super important as we think about different sources and use cases. Actually, clean drinking water, I think, is one of the best use cases of atmospheric water generators, simply from the fact that, one, while the air also has pollution, the air carries way less pollution. It's way easier to purify than bodies of water. Like when you have a body of water, anything could be in there. You have to figure out what's in there and the carrying capacity of that, right? But for the air, you know, we can purify it and make sure that it's the highest quality drinking water, WHO, EPA compliant, and then offered to you immediately again. So drinking water is, I think, one of the best use cases for atmospheric water. You mentioned like Bermuda, Bahamas, Costa Rica. Actually, all of these areas, countries, any islands, any coastal areas, they all have clean drinking water problems. They all have saltwater contamination problems. But you know what they do have? Hot and humid air.
Yes. Yes. And a lot of sun. Absolutely.
A lot of sun.
Huh. I was going to ask, because you mentioned Dubai, and that brought to mind like places like in the States that are often very, very dry, atmospherically dry, like Nevada, that sort of thing. What's the efficiency of your units? Let's say you have one in the Pacific Northwest, let's say coastal Oregon, right? High humidity air. And then you've got one, you know, let's say Las Vegas or something like that, Nevada somewhere, maybe close down the border to Mexico. There's got to be less water in the air there, correct?
Yeah, there's less water in the desert for sure.
How does your unit function then? I mean, does that make it slower at producing water? Does it take more energy?
That's exactly right, is that it's slower in production. I think the best way to think about it is like creating solar energy on a cloudy day. So instead of maybe 24 gallons, we might only produce 10 gallons of water or 7 gallons of water, you know, in a 20-30% humidity area. Typically, you know, the way we like to think about it is that we would love for you to have at least 30% humidity for us to make you a, you know, very meaningful amount of water. We still work under 30%, but it's going to be the same as creating solar energy on a cloudy day. And so we'll be much slower in making that water.
Okay, very cool. So if I ever build an off-grid home, I know where to go. I know where to get some water. That's very cool. Talk about the future. You've talked a little bit about what you're doing today. You talked about maybe going to city scale. What's that look like? What are you dreaming about 5 years from now for the products you might be releasing?
I dream of a future where we can provide an water alternative without pipes or infrastructure. And we are already bringing that into play today by demonstrating that we can build entire communities without water from the ground. So Aquaria last year, we built the first homes in the world where the entire water supply for the homes actually just come from air, solar powered batteries. And so we've already showcased that. And actually right now we've already signed a contract and we're starting to build communities in Hawaii where the entire community would be water powered from the air. So the way I think about it is I need to continually scale up the projects that we can showcase to the public that, hey, look, this technology is here today. And we are building larger and larger communities or cities or projects. And, you know, over the next 5 years, my goal is to showcase that we can actually build out entire city infrastructure with water from the air, starting from, you know, one community at a time today.
Very cool. Thank you so much for your time, Brian.
Thank you so much, John.